Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Near FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. My guest on the show today is Conor Devine. Conor is an inspirational figure with a fascinating life story. At the age of 28, Conor was diagnosed with MS. But Conor has fought back and has completed marathons and Ironmans. And I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by Conor. Conor, how are you this evening?
Excellent, Patrick. Yes, I'm thankfully talking to you in fine health, so thank you for inviting me on the show.
No problem. So, Conor, prior to your diagnosis of MS, can you just tell us a little about your sporting career? You seem to be a pretty good all-round sports person.
Yes, well, I was pretty decent at sport, football, soccer, and both Gaelic were my first loves. I started kicking a football about 5 years of age was my earliest memory, and probably by about the age of 10 or 11 I'd racked up nearly 10,000 hours of playing with a football, and I believe that's whenever you become or classified as an expert in something, Patrick. So yeah, I was very interested in sport, and I think, which we'll get into shortly, I think the characteristics that I picked up and learned throughout my sporting life, I went on to play semi-professional soccer, and I won an All-Ireland medal at university, St. Gaelic. All of those skills that I picked up along that sporting journey, I think, stood me in great stead to deal with the unknown journey which arrived at my door in 2006.
Yeah, and tell us a little about when you got that health scare. You're on holiday in Mauritius. Can you just tell us what happened and what were the first signs that something was up?
Yeah, certainly. So I suppose the brief version is that it's been 13 years ago now, but I remember the onset of the condition, and the first attack is probably the best way to describe it. 28, I was having my breakfast in a beautiful hotel in Mauritius, and my arm went pins and needles and numb. And that was out of the blue. So, I mean, at that time, I was a director in a property company. My career was going well. I was playing semi-professional football, and, you know, everything was going really, really well. But unfortunately, that morning in Mauritius, something happened to my central nervous system. My body started to attack itself for some unknown reason. And over the course of the next week, Patrick, I spent in hospital. And then whenever I got back to Belfast, I spent 12 months pretty much at home and in and out of hospital, going through all sorts of tests, MRI scans, everything really that you can imagine. At that time, I was really ill. Like, my condition meant that, and the problems I was experiencing meant that daily tasks were troublesome, like walking and doing the groceries, and my mental health was really, really poor, because I just didn't know what was wrong with me. So that was... It was just an incredibly difficult period of my life to go through. And looking back now, 13 years ago, it still feels like yesterday in some respect.
Yeah, and that not knowing, that year after the initial shock in Mauritius, where you don't know what exactly, that must have been a really, really tough period, because the fact that the doctors couldn't pinpoint, that must have been a tough, tough time for you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think I went through a major breakdown. I just really couldn't struggle with what was. I was finding what was happening to my body. It was outside of my control. I just couldn't deal with it. I mean, my symptoms. I had over 23 different symptoms, including huge pressure in my head. I was struggling to swallow in my throat. I had pins and needles and pain and around my chest and all over my legs, which is known in medical terms as lermites. No, it was just, you know, so bizarre. Why me? And right in the middle of, I suppose I was starting out my life proper at that time with my career and all kinds of good stuff happening, and then this just wiped me completely off my feet, Patrick.
And when you got the confirmation of the diagnosis, it's such a life changing. What was your reaction, and how tough of a time was that when you got the diagnosis confirmed?
Well, it's a very lonely few moments whenever someone from the medical profession diagnoses you with any kind of condition. I suppose you'll only know how you react to that whenever it happens. It's what happened to me. And in the room, it was about a 15-minute consultation. And after the consultation, I walked to the car, and I suppose I cried for about 20 minutes on my own. because I just couldn't really take on board what had happened. And, you know, it was one question answered, but then so many more left to ask. And that was the start of a real what has turned out to be an incredible journey over the last 12 odd years of trying to heal and recover and deal with what happened to me.
And what gave you the strength? Because you decided that you're going to, you did a lot of research into the condition and you decided that you're going to meet this challenge face on. What do you think gave you that strength to really, really live such a healthy life and really, really, when people get used like that, it can really, really knock them for six, but you really, really showed great strength to character. What gave you that strength?
Yeah, well, looking at me now, yes, it would be easy to sort of ascertain that and say I'm really strong and I've done well to get through it, but it's not really an accurate conclusion because it took me 4 years, Patrick, to actually come to terms with it. So, you know, from 2006 to 2010, I was in incredibly poor health, mentally and physically.
Yeah.
And I only, to be honest, started to reverse it and the tide started to turn for me whenever I found a guy in America, Montel Williams, who was living this productive life. He had his own business. He was going to the gym. He was living with MS, and he was actually realizing his potential. And it's just a shame that I had to wait for 4 years. And this is one of the reasons why I speak now to the media and I'm telling more of my story again, because, you know, I had no hope at all for 4 years. I mean, most people who are diagnosed with any kind of condition or they feel well, don't feel well, they're always looking for hope and that they can improve. But unfortunately, with MS and cancer and all kinds of diseases and illnesses out there, we only see the negative side often and too often. And for me, it's just really sad that I had to wait for 4 years to find someone who gave me hope. But thankfully, I found that person. And of course, Patrick, once I found one person, I started to find another and another and another.
Yeah.
And the important part of this part of our conversation is that there is always hope. And it doesn't matter how bad or how down you might be today, tomorrow, or the next day. If you keep your mind open to the possibility that everything can actually improve, you can get better, your mental health can improve, then you have a chance. And for me, around about 2010, 2011, that really kicked my recovery plan into action.
And is that something that's given you great purpose in your life now, that you're educating people, you're going talking about your experience and giving people hope that they can turn their life around and they can deal with adversity?
I think so, because, you know, I'm quite a progressive person. Like, I've got my own business. I'm really passionate about business and employing people and doing that kind of thing. But I think I really come into my own. I did the Late Late Show around about 2013 with Ryan Tuberty, and the feedback I got, Patrick, off the back of that was really positive. And over the last 5 to 6 years, I'm spending a lot of my spare time in the evenings, you know, sharing information with people and engaging with people and trying to advise maybe roadmaps to go forward. And yeah, I think I have found my purpose. It's something I'm deeply passionate about, is trying to share a lot of the information that I didn't have, I suppose, in those 4 years, which held me back from my recovery plan. And, you know, I'm 41 years of age at the moment, and I just feel deeply, I suppose, moved and passionate about what lies ahead for me over the next 3 to 4 years and how many lives that maybe my story can impact in a positive way.
And how important was the first marathon you ran and completed in a fairly good time? How important was that for you in giving you belief that you could achieve great things?
It was a huge thing for me personally, because I was led to believe, and a lot of people are led to believe when they're ill or diagnosed with something, that you shouldn't be running. I was told to get a new job by my neurologist because something less stressful. I was told I wouldn't be able to play football again. I'd need to, you know, take a step back, and really conditioned to believe that my life was going to get worse and more difficult. And I think that is wrong. So whenever I was asked and I completed my first marathon, it gave me incredible belief in myself. And that's what I think all of us need. We need to believe in ourselves a little bit more. And whenever I crossed the finish line in 2011 in the Belfast Marathon, it was symbolic for me, and it really did give me a sense of achievement that no matter what people diagnose you with, no matter how bad you can feel, you can still go on and achieve. And I knew at that time, Patrick, that there are not too many people in the world diagnosed with MS doing marathons and stuff, and that was really the proper start of my endurance journey, which obviously has continued to this day.
Yeah, and you've progressed on to that to do Ironmans. Can you first of all tell people that are not familiar what is an Ironman, and just tell us how did you progress from running marathons to doing these Ironman competitions?
Yeah, well, I suppose over from 2011 to 2015, I think I ran nearly 10 marathons or so, and I do these events to try and inspire people, encourage people, because it's not really about the marathon or the Ironman. It's really about the person that you can become, Patrick. If you do the work and you apply yourself mentally, physically, you become a person of great discipline and a person of self-reliance. And I think characteristics like that will stand anybody in good stead for their life, no matter what the challenge is, be it an illness or a financial challenge or a relationship. So, yes, the Ironman challenge, I thought, was something which most people think is impossible anyway. And then someone who's maybe diagnosed with a neurological problem certainly shouldn't be running and competing in Ironman triathlon. So an Ironman is the longest distance triathlon. It's 140 miles. It's 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile cycle, and then a full marathon all in the one go. And I suppose I didn't jump straight into that. I started out with the sprint triathlon, which is the lesser distance, and I progressed up through the distances, Patrick, to 2015, when I achieved something which most people in the world probably thought was impossible, where I got my first full Ironman medal in Mallorca with my family. And again, it's not about the races, but it's just about setting those challenging goals, and then the outcome is obviously me, the person speaking to you today, and the great amount of achievement and sense of gratefulness that I feel that I'm able to actually do those kinds of things and hopefully be a beacon of hope for others who are maybe just trying to do normal things like walk for a mile or do stuff, Patrick, that they find challenging.
And you had one recently in Cork, and I was looking at your website over the weekend, and it's very, very inspiring that you were talking. You were talking about you had an injury, and it was. I liked about your vlog was that you're bringing us in with your training. So, can you tell us how did that Ironman in Yahal go for you?
Yeah. So look, I think it's really interesting. The Ironman Yahal was my third full distance. I've done five half Ironman races, and Yahal, for me, the whole day on the Saturday in Yahal, it was a beautiful day, and on the Monday it was a beautiful day. But unfortunately, we live in Ireland where we don't know what day the next it's going to be.
Yeah.
And at 5 a.m. on the Sunday morning in Yahal, it started to rain.
Right.
And it stopped in 4 a.m. the next morning.
Wow.
So
okay.
Unfortunately, I arrived to transition at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And about 6 o'clock, the Ironman organisers, basically the sea was far too rough, Patrick.
Right, fair enough.
They cancelled the swim.
Yeah.
And I suppose to cut a long story short, 150 people decided there and then that they weren't, if there was no swim, they weren't going to even attempt to go out in the weather.
Which is fair enough.
I persevered for 100 mile, and actually we were waiting in transition, Patrick, for about 4 hours in the wind and the rain. And it certainly wasn't ideal, for anyone.
Yeah.
And my back started to give me some problems around about mile 20.
Okay.
And 6.5 hours into the cycle, I withdrew from the race.
Yeah.
And I got 100 mile done
in
those conditions. And, people have said to me in the last week, are you disappointed? Are you disheartened? Yeah. Are you down? And, the answer to that is absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm incredibly proud that, and I'm incredibly grateful that I'm able, I trained today, I swam, I ran today, I did some weights. For me, it's not about the actual events, believe it or not. It's actually about the person. I said this a couple of times, that I can become. I want to realize my potential. I want to get stronger every day. I want to improve. I want to get healthier every day. And over the course of the next few years, I'll just keep chipping away at the events and seeing how far I can take this.
And diet is an important part of your healthy living. You've embraced a plant-based diet. Can you tell us what was the basis of you making that transition and making that decision to go vegan?
Yeah, so I came across a neurologist, Dr. Terry Walls, in America a few years ago, and there's a really fascinating talk on YouTube called Minding Your Mitochondria. And to keep it really, really simple for your listeners, our bodies are made of billions of cells, and whenever all of our cells die, we die as individuals. But the trick to stay alive is there's a wee thing, Patrick, in your cell called the mitochondria. And whenever the mitochondria is healthy and fired up and doing well, we're very healthy. And the only way to really get your cells healthy is through nutrition, through what we put in our mouths. And over the last 4 years, I've done quite a lot of research in this. And I know one of the things I don't do, Patrick, I think it's one of the worst things you can do is to try and tell people what they should and shouldn't be eating. It's like pontification that I don't really get into. But what most of these top nutritional people would agree with is that the most of your plate should be plant-based vegetables and fruits and that kind of thing. Okay. So after studying all the research, it started with me by watching Forks Over Knives on Netflix and reading the China study and following some really independent doctors with great integrity like Colin Campbell. I switched to a plant-based diet in 2016, and I stopped my medication, and thankfully for me, Patrick, over the last 36 months my health has continued to improve. I have no side effects of the medication, and it's a very personal journey to me. I don't say to people you need to stop their medication. What I do say is, you know, become a student of your condition and educate your. Now is one of the best times in life to be alive. We have so much information online where I think people should really utilize that and try and become the healthiest person that they can be.
And before I let you go, Cadar, for people that want to get more information on you, and I know you also wrote a book, Iron Mind, a few years ago. Do you mind just telling us a bit of information on the book you wrote and a bit of information about the website?
Yeah, thank you for that. So, yeah, I wrote my first, I self-published my first book, My MS Story, in 2013, which was really me sharing my own story of how I got sick and what happened. And then around about 2016, I self-published Iron Mind Against All Odds. And again, I've sort of written these books to share my story with people, to give people some hope. The best place to contact me, I'm on all of the social platforms. But my website, connordevine.com, you'll see pretty much all of the stuff that I'm putting out there at the moment. Anyone who wants to get in touch with me, I will always get back to you. It's connor@connordevine.com via email. I'm pretty much out there at the moment, Patrick. I don't think you'll not be able to get me.
That's brilliant. Listen, Connor, you've been very generous with your time, and it's been great to talk to you. It's very inspiring. So thanks a million for joining us, and continued good health to you.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you very much, Patrick.
That was great. That was Connor Devine talking to us there, and I'm sure you can agree. A fascinating person, and really, really inspiring story, and really enjoyed the chat there with Connor. Before I wrap up the show today, that was the mainstay of our program today, that chat with Connor. I came across Connor recently, a newspaper article, and I decided that would be he'd be an excellent guest for the show. But I'm just going to look ahead to some of the fixtures and events coming up over the weekend. And before I talk about the GA fixtures coming up at the weekend, I just want to congratulate the Dublin ladies team, who won their 8th Leinster title in a row yesterday with a 4-11-1-7 win over Westmeath, with all the plaudits going to the Dublin men's team. I think it's only right that we pay tribute to the feats of the Dublin ladies teams. They're in great form at the moment, and they will be looking to retain their All-Ireland title as well. So congratulations to them on their Leinster title win. We had a great weekend of action over the weekend, last weekend, and it's another busy weekend in the GAA Football Championship. On Saturday, 5 p.m, we have Cavan against Tyrone, that's on Clonus, and Cork and Leash is at 7 p.m, that's in Turles, and it's an all a Mount Warhurn task in the Gaelic ground in Limerick. Galway will play Mayo at 7 p.m, and the final game in the football over the weekend is on Sunday. It's 2 p.m. and it's in Port Leash between Meath and Clare. Winners of that will qualify. Winners of all four clashes will qualify for the Super 8s. And on Sunday, in the preliminary quarterfinals, Westmeath will play Cork in the hurling, and Leash will play Dublin in Port Leash. So that is the teams that advance there will qualify for the quarterfinals. And in the soccer, of course, anyone that's been following the Women's Football World Cup will have to agree it's been a brilliant, brilliant tournament. And the World Cup final, the tournament reaches conclusion at the weekend. And on Sunday at 4 p.m, we'll have the final. And that's on all the, it's on RTE and BBC, and watching the coverage, it's been excellent. And it's really, really given more exposure to the ladies game, and it's great to see. And I know the Irish soccer team will begin their qualifying campaign for the European Championship later on in the year, so hopefully it's a sign of good things to come for the ladies game, and it would be great for Ireland to compete at one of them big tournaments as well. Turning to the League of Ireland, on Friday we have Derry against Dundalk, UCD against Finn Harps, and Waterford against St Pat's, Cork against Bowes, and Shamrock Rovers against Sligo. And on, in the First Division, we have Cabinteely against Bray, Drogheda against Cove, Athlone against Wexford, and Limerick and Longford. And Galway will host Shelburne in at 7:45. That's in AMDC Park. Shelburne, of course, the league leaders. We've also... if you're looking for more soccer, I know a lot of people are kind of starved of football since the Premier League stopped, but there's plenty of football on over the weekend. The Copa America final is on, and I think it's 8 p.m, so it's kind of a time that suits people. So that will be, and the African Cup of Nations continues as well. We also have the Irish Open on over the weekend, and we also have other events, the Tour de France on, so there's plenty of sport going on. And if you stay tuned to Neo FM, we will have just plenty of more sport on. Fergus will have his usual Saturday sports show at 10:30, where he'll give a more comprehensive preview and look at the weekend's events. And on Sunday at 8 p.m, Fergus will also have his Sunday local sports show. And if you want to listen back to any of our previous interviews, we've been running the show for over a year now. We've had some great guests, and if you go onto the Neo FM page and search Beyond the Back page, you will find some of the previous podcasts. And if you want to give me a follow on Twitter, you can search my handle there is Beyond the Back page. And you could, if you have any suggestions for future guests, hopefully we'll have some really, really good guests coming up in the next few weeks, but I'll keep you posted if you follow me on social media about that. That's pretty much it for this evening. I'd like to thank sincerely my guest this evening, Conor Devine, and that's it for this evening. Thank you for tuning in. So until next week, I'll talk to you then. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your sporting week.